Welcome to the final episode of Series 1 of Unspoken. We are really excited to be joined by Kim Stubbs from HSBC to talk about fertility in the workplace. Kim herself has been on a journey with fertility and recurrent miscarriage, and she really opens up about her personal experiences and shares her own insights into what helped her in the workplace and what others can do to advocate for themselves if they're on a journey. HSBC has this year come on board as a corporate partner, and we are so excited about the work we're doing together, which we will explore in this episode. I hope you enjoy. So welcome to this episode of Unspoken. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Kim Stubbs from HSBC, and we'll be talking about all things related to fertility in the workplace. Welcome, Kim. How are you today?
Thanks, Anita. Yeah, I'm great and really lovely to be here with you.
It's great to have you. And tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do at HSBC, and why is it so important to you to drive the agenda around fertility support in the workplace?
Yeah, sure. So my day job is I head up our supported banking team for HSBC UK and First Direct. And that means I support and oversee the journeys that our customers go on when they're dealing with key moments that matter in their lives, such as bereavement, power of attorney, third-party support. My side hustle, as I like to refer to it, is that I'm also the co-chair for our Journey Employee Resource Group, which is our ERG, which supports our colleagues that are on their own journeys into pathways to parenthood, which, as we both know, are not always linear and straightforward. And I think why this is important to me is because I obviously lead lots of people within our business and have done throughout my career. And that's probably my favorite part of my job. But that in doing that, I get real insight into how personal and professional lives collide, not always out of choice, but the impact that people have to face into when they're experiencing a more challenging pathway into parenthood, when your desire is that's all you want out of life. And actually, it's great to have, for many people, it's a personal goal. And I think personal goals and professional goals are not separate. The two things are intrinsically linked. And one does impact the other. And I've seen firsthand through a lived experience of what that looks like. So how I became involved in the employee resource group, I have suffered a journey of recurrent miscarriage. I got married, thought, yeah, now I'm going to start trying for a family. Quite naively expected that to happen straight away. 3 years in, we'd suffered three losses. And then we were fortunate enough to have our little girl, Margot. She's now five. My family aspirations didn't stop at one child. I always envisaged us having a family with two or three kids. Unfortunately, that has yet to materialize. That journey of recurrent miscarriage has continued. I've actually suffered a further 10 miscarriages in that time at various different points in pregnancy. And I think for me, the key thing as to why that made me feel that this is such an important topic to bring to the forefront in our workplace is, as I said, that the personal and the professional goals are linked. One does very much impact the other, especially when you're having a journey that involves lots of appointments, lots of tests, lots of treatment, lots of disappointment in some cases, which emotionally impacts, I think, the ability to cope and at times can feel quite a lonely place when you've got great career aspirations, but also these personal aspirations and trying to juggle both mentally and physically has been a challenge. And I don't think I'm alone in that, but I certainly have felt alone at times. And I think my desire in getting involved in this resource group was to try and support as many of our colleagues to not feel that loneliness and ensure that our people leaders are equipped and have the confidence to support our people through those times, even if it's not something that they've experienced themselves. I've always been really lucky, Anita. My line managers have always been really supportive in different ways. But for some of them, I know that's been challenging because they haven't known what to say, when to say, or even how to approach the topic. So with my individual hat on, there's a lived experience that I can, you know, really relate to. But also from a leadership perspective, I think it's really important that we upskill and support our leaders in being able to in turn support our people.
Thank you for sharing that, Kim. And it's, you know, stories that we hear from others, but hearing it firsthand about, you know, your recurrent miscarriage and secondary infertility and experiencing both things at the same time whilst try to keep your professional side going. And like you say, the two are not separate and you don't leave your home life at the doorstep of your office. Like I've known you for like a best part of this year. We've been working together and I've always seen your fire and your passion for this topic. And I think that's what's driven a lot of what's happened at HSBC with the ERG, with the support, upskilling line managers. And this year, it's amazing that we've come on board as partners. So your HSBC are now a corporate partner. And with that, there are so many opportunities. But what would be good is to, I suppose, reflect on some of the things that you have done at HSBC that have been a success and where you've seen an impact and change.
Yeah, sure. So if I kind of reflect back on where the journey ERG started, it very much started with a couple of key individuals, one lady in particular who works in HR. And she was on her own journey and noticed that there was certainly a gap in the support that was available for colleagues and set up a little working group at the time, which operated actually under one of our other ERGs. It landed really well with our business and our colleagues. And I think almost immediately, the impact was really visible. And that working group grew and grew and grew over a period of, I think it was about 18 months to 2 years. And more people came forwards and wanted to be involved, wanted the support. And actually, Anita, it got to a point where that as in the format that it was, we couldn't cope with all the demand that was coming in. So we made the bold step only 2 years ago to become an employee resource group in our own right, which meant we could leverage off some of the other employee resource groups, but also really galvanize that desire that we were seeing across the business for us to grow. So we onboarded multiple new committee members into the ERG to help facilitate in key areas. And we operate across 7 different pillars within the ERG to make sure that our coverage was as broad as it could be to tackle the many different variations of challenges that people face. So whether that's the male perspective, because we all know that male infertility is something that's still quite taboo and isn't talked about, but actually I think it's 40% of infertility issues are down to a male factor. Our LGBTQT plus community is another area that we work really closely with our Pride ERG on. The different types of challenges people face, whether that's infertility in its first instance or like for my example, recurrent miscarriage. We also look at baby loss more generally. And support the causes that support our people during that time. Journey without barriers, that's another pillar that we look at, focusing on that real inclusivity lens, making sure that everybody has a voice because we know different cultural challenges exist when you talk about infertility or loss. Some cultures find that really a difficult place to talk about and get the support that they need. And obviously our being a very a business which is geographically scaled, and actually our colleagues very much represent our communities that we serve, it's important that we allow people to have that voice and feel that representation. And then our other areas that we look at from policy and change that we want to make in policies. Additionally, events that we put on that are focused on specific topics. I know we've worked really closely with you guys on delivering some events. I think we've had two key events this year, which have, as well as some ad hoc topic specific ones, but two key events where we've had over 600 people attend, which is phenomenal. And then our communication, because one of the biggest challenges is how do people know that we exist and are aware that this support is there for them? And that's an area that we are working really hard on internally and externally. But I guess one of the biggest challenges we had is how do we get that knowledge out to our business that we're here, we can support. And I think in becoming an ERG, we were able to get some real good support from our EXCO community and those voices that can reach lots of people. So yeah, that's probably the key areas that we've been looking at. And I guess really great news, we work closely with our HR and our performance and rewards team. And this year it was fertility support was prioritized in our top five things we'd like to achieve for our people as part of our healthcare plan. And we've been fortunate that in January we will introduce fertility checks for all employees and their partners, which I think is super great, because not only will that help people that are already struggling to get answers, and I think that's probably one of the key areas that people struggle with mentally is finding the answers as to why things might or might not be happening, but also it will enable people to really prepare for what that family goal looks like, whether that's 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, 10 years down the line, to enable our colleagues to have a check of their fertility will help them prepare for scenarios that perhaps they don't know right now that they need to prepare for, because I think there is a naivety around how easy it is to start a family. And for some people, that's not always the case.
Absolutely. And I mean, just hearing again, everything that you've already done, it's so, so big. I mean, you're considering the intersectionalities with fertility journeys, and different groups of people are impacted in different ways. And you've really taken the time to think about that. And like you say, the fertility checks, that goes a long way, because you might not be planning to have a baby now, but if you know there are any issues, you can start to deal with those so you don't have issues further down the line. No, and there's so many, I know there's so many aspirations in terms of what you want to do and how you want to progress this agenda at HSBC. But just remind me, what your ERG has grown so much that there's so many members now.
Yeah, so we celebrated a key milestone this year that we've now attracted over 1,000 members. For us, that's amazing achievement and really talks volumes to how important our people feel this topic is. But it also gives us glimmers of opportunity that still exists, because as we know, HSBC is a lot bigger than 1,000 people. And we've got really high hopes and grand plans, Anita, around how we continue to grow that membership and really just make sure that people know who we are, know why we exist, understand why it's important, if not to them, but to their teams or the people that they work with. And most importantly, just have access to that support, whether that's through HSBC and our policies that we're continuously enhancing, or whether that's through some of the great things that we're doing with you guys through our ambassador program and the workshops and the seminars where we have the external fertility clinicians. You know, giving our people access to those things is something that they just wouldn't get otherwise. And I think also just to help people understand that there are other people that are in the same or similar positions, that if you need that person to talk to, there's always somebody there. And you don't have to suffer in silence.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's the suffering in silence. And what you spoke about earlier, the loneliness, what can really compound an experience and affect mental health, or affect whether you reach out and get help. So those 1,000 members have access to, you know, like you're saying, all sorts of tools, resources, information that can help them feel less alone. But I suppose with the numbers growing, what are some of the things that you'll be doing to really support that community? And like you say, there are probably a lot more out there, because we know it's 1 in 6 and the majority are in the workplace. So yeah, it'll be interesting to hear about what are some of your kind of short-term or even long-term ambitions.
Yeah, so we definitely want to spend some time thinking about how we support people who are either on a journey or know they're going to go on a journey with their career. Coaching goes hand in hand because, as I said earlier, people shouldn't have to put their career aspirations on hold because they're having an issue with fertility or whatever that might be. But I think people do feel that way. And it's a shame because I think we've got the capacity to lean in and support them and help them shape what their career planning looks like alongside a fertility-related journey. Outside of that, I mentioned earlier, we are really focused on supporting our people managers, because as equally as it's lonely for the person that is going through it, not everybody is going to have that lived experience. And I think all of our people leaders want to do the right thing for their people. Sometimes they don't know how, and that's okay. You don't have to know how, but actually for us to be able to lean in and provide them with that support, that even how to just, even if it's as simple as how to respond or how to have that conversation, I think will go a long way. We are also thinking on an ongoing basis about our policies. Do they read in the right way? Are there anything missing? How do we continue to enhance them? And that's an ongoing work stream that we have within the ERG, and we work really closely with our HR colleagues in that. We want to continue the great events and the workshops and the support groups that we have in place for people. They've always been really well received, and I think knowledge is power. And actually that feeling of community is also really important. So those are kind of rocks of in what we will always continue to do. And we'll work closely with Fertility Network UK and some other charities, depending on the issues that we want to cover, to make sure that we give our members that access. Obviously, we've made great headway in getting fertility checks in place. It would be great longer term, and I think this is a longer term goal, as to what next level we take that to, really what benefits are available. In addition to the fertility check, we do also have access to mental health support and counselling through our private healthcare, which is really, really important to people that are on a journey. And also when people have suffered a loss, they can access a diagnostic investigative treatment following losses, which again is invaluable when you're looking for answers. I think we are keen to really spearhead what happens as an industry, because this isn't an issue that exists only for HSBC. And we had a great event last year, the first one where we connected with our peers across the financial services industry, and we hosted a round table in our head office in Canary Wharf, which brought those people together. And I think coming together with that shared purpose at industry level is something that's not happened before, but will help us at an industry level to really raise the awareness of this topic. And then finally, I think the biggest one is just that final point on awareness. There is still a lot of knowledge gaps, I think, in terms of what supports available internally and externally around people that are experiencing a more challenging pathway into parenthood. And our primary focus will always be to bridge those gaps where we can and provide that knowledge and that support that people perhaps just don't know exists at the current time.
And gosh, that is everything that you've spoken about touches on so many of the important things. You know, what tools and what resource can you give to your employees to help them for things like, you know, recurrent miscarriage, and they can have those tests done rather than having to wait or having to, you know, suffer in silence. And then the whole line manager piece, that is really important because they are the first port of call for anyone. And I know you touched on the comms piece, so making sure that people know that you're there. What kind of things have you done to increase the awareness of the ERG?
Yeah, so we have a group of people which are currently called patrons, which we've onboarded into the ERG, who we will be rebranding as ambassadors as we build out that program with you guys in Fertility in the Workplace. But these really are people that sit within our lines of business, of which there are many, who can be our voice, because as a committee, we're maybe 15 people. It would be impossible for us to touch as many people as we can for those, for people within lines of business who perhaps can't commit the time to be on the committee, but actually still want to be involved and still want to be part of that change. And they do a great job in helping us build awareness across multiple lines of business. I talked earlier about our executive team. We go and we present to them and we engage with them on a regular basis, and they're always really willing to listen. We get great feedback when we engage with them. I think to have those voices at an exec level is really important. And then outside of that, I think our events and our promotion of those events and the linkage to our other communities. I talked about Pride as an example. We have our Ability Network, our Nurture Network, who are all supporting colleagues with different causes. But essentially, there's a shared purpose there that we want to create that inclusive culture and environment for our people to thrive in. And even though we look at different causes, there are shared causes that cross over each other. And I think, you know, our ability to work collaboratively across the various different resource groups is really important.
Yeah, I think just that cross collaboration, you don't tend to see that in organisations, but it feels like at HSBC that is paramount, and it's happening to make sure you are reaching as many people as possible. And
yeah,
just the fact that you've had events with over 600 people just speaks volumes. And it also says something about the psychological safety of being able to attend these events. And as you know yourself, it's difficult being on that journey and being open. But was there anything that from your personal experience or from the work that you're doing in HSBC, for anyone who's listening who is on a journey in the workplace, what are some of the things that they can do to support themselves and things that helped you?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, finding this community has been really helpful for me, not just because of all the wonderful things that I'm involved in and get to be part of in driving that change that we're looking to drive, but also just because of the various different people it connects me with. And on a personal level, at times where I've been in the trenches with my own journey, I think it's been really helpful for me to have that knowledge that community is there and it exists, and you know, you can have conversations with people without feeling like you have to be guarded, and there's no shame in that. I think the other thing that I would always encourage people to do, and it's hard at times, depending on your relationship, but if you can be open with your leaders about where you're at, for me, that's been really beneficial because I've then felt confident that I have got the flexibility and can utilize the flexibility that HSBC provide me to deal with whatever it is I'm dealing with at the same time. And also, seek a bit of solace in that it's not going to have a negative impact on my career aspirations. You can do both, and I'm a firm believer in that. And I really try and role model that. It's not impossible to do both, and nor should you have that ability withdrawn from you. I think the other things that I would always encourage is be kind to yourself, in that there are some peaks and troughs in where we find ourselves, and that's absolutely acceptable. And also just be realistic that, you know, depending on what you're going through, the physicalities may require you to have some additional flexibility. Again, really important that you're open with your with your team and your leaders about that so that you don't feel like you're slacking or that people are judging you from maybe not being in the office as much, or perhaps you have to leave early for appointments, or you're doing injections and you want to do those at home in the morning because they all have to be done at the same time of day, you know, that kind of stuff. I think the more you can help people to understand, the better it feels. And I think lastly, I would say take advantage of what's there. Our business is really supportive of our ERG and the work that we do. And the resources are there for people to use. So if you are, if it's, whether it's you or a people, you're a leader within a business, I would say educate yourself, because that knowledge really is power. And it won't mean that you can answer every question, whether that be for yourself or someone in your team, but it will mean that you can have an open conversation and perhaps provide some direction around what resources are available. Nobody expects you to be an expert, but to just know that someone has the knows where to go is really important.
Yeah, and those are all really good points. And like you say, I think the more open you can be, the more it normalizes what you're going through and opens it up for you to ask for help and support. And also for leaders and managers, you're not expected to be experts. You're not expected to fix. It's to listen, empathize, be compassionate and offer flexibility and support. But there will always be individuals who don't feel safe to open up to their manager and saying, this is what I'm going through. Are there any words of advice for those individuals?
Yeah, seek out the people that you can talk to, and whether that's through an employee resource group or a working group, if it's a smaller setup, it's just someone in your team or your wider network that isn't maybe perhaps directly involved in your team as such. I think just even if it's one person, just seek out someone or something that you can go to in those moments that really matter. I can't stress, as I said, how there are times where I've wanted to talk and there are times when I haven't. And in those times where I haven't, that's for me to manage. And I'm okay with that, right? So I think there's a big difference between feeling like you have to versus when you want to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to tell anyone. But that's probably something that I've struggled with, Anita, in that there are times where I think it would have done me good to talk and I haven't. And actually now knowing what I know and seeing what's available and the people who are around me, I would always try and talk to somebody, because a problem shared is always helpful in this space, I think. And like you say, it's not that anybody can wave a magic wand and fix what's happening, but just to get those words out and get that off your chest, I think is really important. And know that you're not on your own.
And a lot of the times when you share, most people say, mm-hmm. me too, or
yes, yeah.
someone close to me is going through
yep.
it. So, and yeah, again, if you're going back to the numbers of people who are going through it, there are many of us around. And I think, like you're saying, getting that access in that support, it's familiarise yourself with what's available in the organisation, feeling safe to talk to your manager. And like you say, you don't have to tell them everything. You might tell them like 5%, just so they know stuff is going on, you need flexibility, or you might need something different or time away from work. And I know you reflected on some of your own journey, but if you were to go back to the start of your journey, is there anything that you would do differently or say to yourself?
Yeah, I think I would. There's probably three things. I learned to work in threes. So there's probably three things that I would do. One would be I would talk more to people that I knew would understand. So I would seek that out earlier to enable me to have that conversation that where there was no judgment. Secondly, I think I would probably try and do more to educate the people that are around me, not just my line managers, but also my team. because there were times when I carried a bit of guilt around, I've got to go to this appointment, or I've got to go to that appointment, or this is happening, and oh, you know, this has happened. And I think I found it quite hard to be as open with my team so that they could maybe pick up a bit of the slack when I needed it, because I felt I didn't want to put that on them. So I felt guilty at times, where I think if I was to have my time again, I would carry less guilt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, I would talk to my family more about the impact it has on your work and your career, and particularly my husband, because he also is going through the same challenges. And I think particularly where you're in a recurrent miscarriage journey, the focus can probably be put predominantly on the partner that's carrying. But for him, he probably felt a little bit helpless. And I think we don't both work for the same company, and I don't know what support, if any, he was getting in his work, you know, in the same way that I was. So I think just having that open conversation to outside of work is also really important.
I think you've raised three really important points: is to speak out at work, educate others around you, and talk to family and friends outside of work. And I think everything you're doing is phenomenal, from personally for you, but also within HSBC. And I think things are only going to grow and, you know, be absolutely phenomenal, and look forward to seeing the journey. But just wanted to say thank you so much for joining and sharing personal and professional perspective.
No problem. And Anita, thank you, especially to you and the rest of the Fertility Network UK team. We couldn't have got to where we've got to today without your support. And the partnership that we signed for the next 3 years will only help us to take that to even bigger heights, right? And I'll look forward to sharing that success with you guys.
A huge thank you to Kim for such an insightful episode, really exploring all the amazing work that has been taking place at HSBC to really provide that support for employees through their employee resource group journey. I think what really stood out for me is the level of support that organisations can be offering their employees to make sure they feel supported, they feel heard, they feel really held when they're going through a journey. And the role of managers is so critical, which really came through the conversation. And just, you know, things like health checks can make a huge difference to an employee's journey to parenthood, and can really alleviate some of those anxieties they might have. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a lot that organisations can be doing. And our Fertility in the Workplace team are available to support and guide and educate on, you know, how you can really move the conversation forward in the workplace and have the right provision and have the right support available to employees, but also creating that psychological safety and the right culture where people feel like they can speak up. We hope you found this episode useful. And if you do require any support or found the conversation difficult, you can find it at fertilitynetworkuk.org, and you can find details of our Fertility in the Workplace team in the show notes. We will be back in a few months. Please do like, subscribe, and rate the podcast series. And we'd love to hear your feedback. And we'll be back soon. Take care, and thank you for listening.